some from quite a distance away. We've got visitors from our neighborhood and community. We've got visitors from just all around. We're glad to have each and every one of you. We appreciate you coming out to be a part of this gathering today, and we invite you to come back and be with us anytime you can. We would be glad to have you. We have many, of course, with sickness and affliction. I won't go through those today, but hope and trust that you'll continue to pray for those that are less fortunate, that have different needs, that are in the hospital or in the nursing homes, whatever their condition and case. Hope that you'll pray that the God of all mercy and grace would look upon them and supply their needs at this time. Of course, we have come out this day to really, I hope and trust, and that has been the church's desire. As we began to talk about this almost a year ago, the church's desire has to come out and to set aside a time for the single and a sole purpose of praising God and trying to thank Him and acknowledge unto Him His gracious mercies for allowing us to continue for 250 years ago. There has been, thank you, that's right, thank you, amen. There has been much history written about Abbot's Creek, so we did not write anything new. There's just a lot out there, and most of you are familiar with quite a bit of it, some of you with a lot of it. But I might just take about a minute, I thought today, or maybe 2 minutes at most here, and just very briefly lay this out for the benefit of some of those that may not be as familiar. But 250 years ago, this year, a church was constituted here on Abbot's Creek. Of course, we have a long history with Sandy Creek Church, and we have some members from Sandy Creek here today. We got the pastor from Sandy Creek here today. These churches go way back to that time. Of course, Elder Shubal Stearns and his family and a group came down from Pennsylvania, established Sandy Creek Church in 1755. There was already people meeting in this area, but they didn't have an organized church, and they did not have an ordained minister. When the group at Sandy Creek was known, they called for Daniel Marshall to be ordained and come and serve the church, and he was the first pastor of the church. That's Elder Stern's brother-in-law. He served the church for a good number of years, and the church had a great growth in those early years from 1756 and thereafterwards. The church, as all churches do, has gone up and down as there's been many trials. It's hard for us today to imagine what those first members and those first attendees went through. This was wilderness in the 1750s. This was on the frontier. Of course, from those years up until the time of the Revolutionary War, there was a number of trials. During the period of the Regulator activity, a lot of the settlers in this area moved further west to get away from that trouble, so the church had a great decline at that period of time. If you got a couple of minutes today, across the street, General Nathaniel Greene, on his way from Kings Mountain to Guilford Courthouse, camped right across the road. There's a marker over there that states that and has a few other things about that. But you think about the time. I read that in history, and to me that seemed just so distant. Now it's real because there were some of those individuals that stopped right across in front of the building here. Well, not this building. It wasn't here then. This is at least the third building, maybe the fourth that's been here. And fourth building that we know of that's been here. And they were there on the way to going to Guilford Courthouse, and then, of course, after that over to Yorktown for the conclusion of the Revolutionary War. So we have people buried in our cemetery back from those times. There are a number of Civil War veterans buried in our cemetery. The church actually received a deed for 6.5 acres in 1815, if I remember correctly. I mentioned Sandy Creek. The church at Abbot's Creek later on, after becoming established here and getting Elder Marshall from Sandy Creek, was involved in the reorganization of Sandy Creek Church later on. So they've been closely tied through a very long, long history. And many, many churches have sprung from, and as some have said in the past, this is a mother church of many of the old Baptist churches in about any direction you might go from here. You will find many, many connections that would lead back to this place. So that's very briefly it, and I think that's enough, because we're here to thank God that He preserved those first folks as they carved out a place in the wilderness to meet, and then all those intervening generations that have met here, trying to pray and to sing and to praise God and thank Him for His goodness and mercy and look to Him for His guidance and direction. And that's why we're here today. We hope you've been praying for the service. We hope you'll continue to pray for the service, that the Lord would bless for the purpose that we've come here, that we might honor Him. Truly, He's been gracious to us. We live in perilous times. Many of us have been talking today about the changes that many of you have seen in your lifetime. a great decline in spirituality and morality and interest of religious things, a great falling away. And yet God has still blessed and has kept a people, that remnant that is still here today. We are thankful for that, and we hope and trust that by our efforts today, God will smile upon us and bless us, that we might retain a place here to worship in the days to come. We're thankful for all the elders that are here with us today. I don't know that we'll have an opportunity to preach each and every one. As always, if you don't know Old Baptist preachers, you've missed some interesting little conversations along the way. But a lot of times when Old Baptist preachers start gathering up, they start offering excuses. Well, you know, don't do this, don't use me, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But nevertheless, we're thankful for every last one of you. And we appreciate you coming to be here today. And if we don't get to use you today, it's just simply because we don't have time. But you know this, come back again, and we'll use you another time. Many of you have been here before, and we hope you'll come again, and we hope and trust that the Lord will be blessed today. What we will do this morning, the Lord willing, and we do have lunch for those of you that may not know, and we'll coordinate that as best we can, and we'll talk about that right before we start. But we do have lunch today, so you don't have to rush off. I know Brother Gene says he has to get back for their service, but hope everyone else can stay with us today if you can throughout the day. We're going to select an opening hymn. Brother Justin, did we get through everything? All right, do you have something we can use?
Number 10.
All right, what we will do then is we will sing hymn number 10. I'm going to ask Elder Tim McGrady, if he would, to introduce the service with prayer this morning. Then we're going to ask Elder Gene Hogan, Elder Ed Bowman, and Elder Bob Dickerson to speak to us this morning. So we've started early to give you brethren some time this morning, and hope the Lord will bless each and every one of you. So as we sing, if you three brethren would come up, and then Brother Tim also come on up here, you can lead us in prayer when we finish. So if you can and want to, stand while we sing hymn number 10.
Verses 1, 2, and 4.
Verses 1, 2, 4.
Father, we thank you for what you've done to the people, calling them by your grace, bringing them out of
God, that you would have mercy upon our shortcomings. We confess that we've fallen short of our glory many times and in many ways. And in days to come, Father, we will yet fail to know. Thank you again that you're ever gracious and merciful God. We thank you that you know that our praying is done. You indeed mercy. We thank you, dear God, that you've seen fit to be long suffering and to be kind and gracious and merciful to us. Thank you again, Father. Service. We pray that these brethren stand and speak, that you would give him liberty of mind, and that you give us an ear to hear, a heart to receive, and help us, Father, to walk in the truth and step before us. Ask all these things in the name of our returning Lord, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Elder Gene Hogan will come first. He is the pastor currently at Sandy Creek Church, also at Flat Creek Church. And I was going to say, there's a Bible right there, Brother Gene, if y'all need one. Hope you'll pray for him as he comes, that the Lord would lead his mind.
Certainly thankful to be here this morning. I didn't come with a mind to preach, but I've learned a long time ago that if you're called upon, go. Because the Lord will be with you if you're walking in the right direction. So pray for me as I stand before you for a few moments of time. I had a thought coming up the road this morning concerning some things in the church. And I know that Abbott's Creek is a arm, what you might say, off of Sandy Creek, and Sandy Creek was considered one of the first in our part of the country. And I want to look back at the things that our forefathers done in order that we might have what we have today. Many years ago, as a young boy, I was walking the farm where I was raised at with my grandfather. I never give it a thought as one day that I would own that property, because it was handed down to my dad. He worked the land. And then when he passed on, it was handed down to me. And I thought about an inheritance of God's people. We find in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, in the 11th verse, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, the inheritance that we have had to be left to us by something or someone. What I have today in the natural realm was left to be by my forefathers. It was kept by them that we might obtain it. Now, what we have in the church today, we can trace back to the apostles and to our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because it is by him and through him that this is kept today, our inheritance. You know, I'm glad that the Lord saw fit and through his mercy and divine grace has left us a resting place from the storms of life. It's an inheritance to have the church. It's been handed down from generation to generation. And it's kept by what? By the power of God and by men and women and children that are called of God, willing to make sacrifices and stand for something that we're able to give to our children on down from generation to generation. And I think about our forefathers, how that my dad and those that's gone on before, how they labored in the kingdom to keep it as it was given unto them. And I've strived to that end myself, is to try to keep the kingdom the same way that it was when I came to it. I don't want to see anything added to it. I don't want to see anything taken out of it. But the world around us today is beginning to add things into the kingdom and begin to take things out, and it's not the same as it was handed down from our forefathers. And it's not been that many years ago that the church stood alone here in the world, and many flowed to it. As the brother talked about, I imagine, in many of the early years, what a gathering there was of Zion, of God's people here in this place. I've talked to some elders many years ago talking about when they had union meetings or come together on a weekend, they'd be as many as 1,500 or 2,000 people. And brother, they had to come from great distances because it wasn't that populated in this area along in the early years. Brother Nair showed me a little encouragement to press on today. They had the zeal to go and to worship God in spirit and in truth. And they began to come from miles around to see this inheritance that was left by our forefathers. They labored hard and long that we might have it today. And brother, I tell you, I want to take care of it. I want to keep what the Lord has given me. I want to keep what the inheritance that's been given here. We find over in 1 Peter, I believe it is, in the first chapter, in the fourth verse it is, he talks about this. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I believe the heaven that he's talking about is the heaven here on earth. That's where it's kept by the power of God. Undefiled, let me tell you, brethren and sisters, that the Word of God, the true Word of God, cannot be defiled. It cannot be done away with. It can do nothing but stand, because the truth will stand when a lie will fall. I'll tell you, my friend, it's undefiled. It's why? Because it's kept by the power of God and given unto men, called of God to transform the knowledge and wisdom that the Lord gives in the preaching of this gospel. Brother, last night we had gathered over at my brother-in-law's house, and there was an elder there, Elder Fred Williams, most of you know him, and we were sitting around talking and talking about preaching this glorious gospel. I want to tell you, my friends, there's no greater joy in all the world than to talk about the blessed Lord and Savior, and to preach His glorious gospel, and to talk about our heritage and what the Lord has given us. I'll tell you, the Lord has given you abundant. You're a blessed nation above all of the world to have this truth that God gives. I'll tell you, my friends, how blessed are we that can see and have the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When we have the truth and it's kept by the power of God and it's handed down from generation to generation, that's our inheritance. Brother, I enjoy the inheritance that my forefathers had left me. I saw the tribulations and the trials and even put to death as the apostles was, that we might have this inheritance today. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. That fadeth not away. Look back in the history. Go back in the history of Abbott's Creek and Sandy Creek and on further. And you'll see that the church is still standing today for the same doctrine that the apostles stood for. The same practices that they used in that day. Oh, I admit there's been a little changes here and there in some of the way that men perform these things. But, brethren, going back to the basics, it's still the same. It has not changed. We still believe in the one true and living God. We still believe that salvation is by the grace of God. We still believe as a means of a salvation here, when the Apostle Paul said, work out your own salvation with much fear and trembling. He's not talking about eternal salvation, but a salvation here. My friends, eternal salvation has always been in the hands of the Almighty, and it still is.
Amen. Amen.
And that's a heritage that's been left to us. When we begin to see these inheritance that's been left to us, how that we can commune with our God through prayer. You know, that's an inheritance. And everything that we have in the church today, that's the truth, is an inheritance. But I must warn you, you can lose your inheritance. You're not going to lose your place in heaven, because every heir of promise that Christ died for will be housed in heaven's pure world. But you can lose what you have here. And I'm sure that if you'll look back over your lives, you know someone has lost it. Someone that has went astray and got away from the worship service of God, got away from the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a good example in the scriptures that tells us. Take the prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance, didn't he? He took it off and he went through it like a lot of people that I've seen that inherited money or lands. How they just couldn't hold it. They went through it and there they was, back to nothing. Well, the prodigal son had got to the point that he had nothing. He had to even eat among the swine. But, brother, he still didn't lose his place in his father's house, did he? He still was his father's son, though he lost his inheritance. And I'm telling you today, children of God, you can lose what you have here by your disobedience. You know, that's a strong thing to tell God's people, but it's the truth. I believe in speaking the truth. I believe in the telling you how it is. We ought to cherish this inheritance. We ought to praise God every day for it. And I do every day that I'm down on my knees. I thank God for the church. I thank God that he has shown me a little wisdom and knowledge, that he's revealed unto me the worship and how that we're to worship God. Brother, now I'll tell you, when the Lord reveals unto you how that you ought to worship him in spirit and in truth, brethren, that's the way it's set up to do. That's the way you ought to do it. And then if you don't do that, you'll lose it. That's reality. That's just not something I'm saying, but that's according to the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what the Word of God tells you about this inheritance? I do. To an inheritance incorrupt and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Brethren, I believe we're in the last times. We've been on that way since Christ went back to heaven. We've been in the last days. Now, it may continue on 10,000 more years, but we're still in the last days. For the Bible says neither the angels in heaven know when the end of time is. And that's what gets me. You see on television these men predicting that the end of the world is coming next week. They know more than I know then, don't they? But it's going to be revealed in the last time. Brethren, is it not revealed from generation to generation? Is it not revealed to this generation? We are this generation. We need to keep this thing that we have, that God has blessed us with, that we might hand it down to the next generation. We can easily take it away from them. I read a sign on a car here a while back that says, I'm expending my children's inheritance. Brother, I don't want to spend my children's inheritance. I want to cherish it. I want to keep it just like I found it.
Amen.
I found in the church something that you cannot find in the world. I found that joy and that peace of serving God. And there is no other place on earth that you can serve God except in the church. You might say, well, I'm doing pretty good on the outside. I can serve him out here just as good on the inside. Well, if you can, then the Lord wouldn't have went to John there at the River Jordan and say, and to be baptized into the kingdom, would he?
No.
So we got to serve him in the church of the living God. We need to serve him in spirit and in truth and preserve this inheritance. And you say, well, it's kept by the power of God. We need to worry about it. Brother, you better worry about it. If you don't keep it, nobody else is going to keep it for you. There has been a burden to put upon God's people. Now, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We do have a burden that we spare. And every time that you come and support the church, come and attend the church, and praise God, you're bearing a burden. You're a burden bearer for the Lord. You're in the army of God. And we must bear weapons to fight against Satan and his decisive and deceiving ways. But we're to serve God and to walk in His likeness and to do the things that He's commanded us to do that we might keep our inheritance. And if we'll keep our inheritance, then we'll save it for the next generation.
Amen.
How many of you know, and I know you do, know some old Baptist churches that's faded out and died? They lost that inheritance. It could be for a number of reasons why they lost it, but nevertheless, they still lost it. Do you want to go down in history saying, well, Abbott's Creek closed its doors, or Sandy Creek, or Flat Creek? No. We want to keep them open for God's people to come, that they might find rest and shelter from the storms of life. That's what my heart's desire is, and I'm going to work toward that end. We must make up our minds what we're going to do. Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve man? You better serve God, because it's God that revealed it to you. Paul says, I wasn't taught it of man, but by revelation. What we have today, it's been given to us by revelation. Because God gives His people what they stand in need of. Now, I didn't say what they wanted, but what they stand in need of. We need the church. I've heard men say, well, the church needs me. Look what I've done for the church. No. Brethren, I'll tell you, I need the church. Amen. What can I do for the church? How can I labor in the church? How can I preserve what God has given us? That's what I look for. I don't look for those that say, well, look what I've done to the church. I've donated this and I've donated that and I've done this and I've done that. Watch that man. Brother, I want to see a man come to the church humble and said, Lord, if you just let me be among you. David said, I'd just like to be a doorman in the church of the living God. I'd be satisfied with that. And for many years I was satisfied just to sit in the congregation. But then the Lord came to me. I didn't come to the Lord. He came to me and said, preach my gospel. And I've been trying to do that ever since. I've been trying to stand for what the Lord has put in my heart to stand for. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Stand for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in His likeness. And be found at His feet worshiping Him, that you might keep this inheritance. His precious to us. You know, as I get older, I thought a lot of the church many years ago. But children, as I get older, the church means more and more to me. It becomes precious to me. It comes a place where I can come in from the world and sit down at the Master's table and eat from those manners. That flows from on high, that I can come and rest my weary soul and my body here, that I might find just for a little while, find joy and peace that the world can't give. Jesus said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. But brother, I'll tell you, when Jesus gives you peace, it's peace forevermore. I'll tell you, I'm resting right now in the sunlight of His love. I'm resting here in this place I call the church or the kingdom of our God. And I'm glad that you've preserved it thus far in life. And I encourage you to press on toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, that you might be found here doing your duty as a child of grace. And brother, when we do that, we'll find the peace and harmony that God's people finds with our beloved Lord and Savior. May God bless you, is our prayer.
Bless
you,
Ed Bowman come speak to us next.
It's good to be at Dabbitt's Creek. I've been here a couple of times before, but couldn't fully remember how to get here. But if a man desires to be at the house of the Lord, I believe he can find somebody to tell him. Appreciate what's gone before you. Appreciate the chance to come and worship. The saying goes, I didn't expect to stand before you myself when I seen all these ministers here, but just thankful to be in your midst. We know that we're living in a dark time. Anybody that will confess that is the truth. We read in Job chapter 35, verse 8, thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth song in the night? How can you be a singing here today when I said, and as the brother said, things looking so dark around us? But we can sing, can't we?
Amen.
We can sing praise to God for all that he's done for us. And a lot of times you can't really understand how great things are till you look around and see the trouble all around. Go back in the book of Exodus, whenever the children of Israel was being led out or getting ready to leave, the Lord was preparing them. The Lord was sending the plagues on Pharaoh. And there's one particular plague. We know that it would have been bad to have lice all around as the dust of the earth. Flies, you know how they can irritate anybody. Flies all around. If you went to get a drink of water and it was blood, that would be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Every time that you went to cook something, there would be frogs on everything. That would have been bad. And just plague after plague. But I think that most of us can understand this, that whenever we begin to feel our sins about us, have you ever had a darkness that you could feel?
Amen.
I believe that a child of God, whenever they begin to feel their sins, there is a darkness that they can feel. That's one of the plagues that was sent on Pharaoh. But did you know there was a place called Goshen where the children of Israel, when they came down to Egypt, they were given that good land. There was pasture and there was water. They were herdsmen. You know, we're sheep if we be a child of God. We're the cattle. We need water and we need pasture. Sometimes it seems like, and as the brother said, sometimes if we're not careful, the pasture is going to get short. But when all darkness and all land, and I would like this morning to encourage God's people, with all that's going on in the land, there is a place. There is a place here called Abbott's Creek that we're in this morning. Not the building, but the place where there's a light. The light of God's love. The light of his precious countenance. The light that the world don't know anything about. You know, it says at one place in the new scriptures that not only were we living in darkness, but we were darkness ourselves. And then whenever that the Lord come into your heart, made himself known to you, there was a light. And I'm afraid that a lot of God's people today are doing what the Bible tells us not to do, is put our light You may say, well, I'm not much of a light. Well, it says a candle, don't it?
Yeah.
And you don't light a candle and put it under a bed or under a bushel. You're going to let somebody know. And I don't mean for you to get up here like I am somebody. So, look, I'm giving everybody light, but we need to let our light shine. That our God, our Savior, might be glorified. Our Father which is in heaven. They was talking about a song in the night. Don't you imagine when all of them plagues was hitting Pharaoh and down in the land of Goshen? There was a song in that night. There was a song. Another place I read about in the New Testament. You know, I get to thinking about a lot of times that preachers may think that everybody's supposed to love them. If we preach what we're supposed to this morning, I doubt if we're very much loved. Sometime or another, well, we're going to get on somebody's toes. Did they love the apostles? Go back and read and check history. They was killed, wasn't they? Beheaded, stoned, and all of that. We may be, before it's over with, we may be that way. But what the Lord has done for us, the hope that's in our breast, is it enough for us to die for?
Amen.
He's the one that gives us our family. And sometimes we put our families above the Lord, don't we? We put that which we own above the Lord. What does it say? To seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, and these other things will be added to you. What are you talking about, these other things? Is any of you gone hungry? Does any of you need something to wear? Does any of you need anything of that nature? What the brother was talking about, and we need to think about this, whenever you went this morning, got up. You got up out of a good bed, didn't you? You got up in a warm or a comfortable house. You got up and put clothes on. Have you ever thought about our forefathers? Whenever they come over to this country, the trials and tribulations and those apostles, what they went through? Have you ever went down on your knees and said, Lord, and I'm talking about truly, give us this day our daily bread. The problem of us is with us today, and I'll point it to Edward Bowman as much as anybody. What do you say? Do we say, Lord, give me something to eat? Or do we kind of say, I don't really know what I really want to eat this morning? Now that means we've got plenty, don't we? Whenever we say that. And then we get ready to go somewhere and say, well, I really ain't got nothing to wear when you got a closet full.
Amen, brother.
We've got to think about it. What if you got up and you said, Lord, give me something to wear. Would you come today if it'd been an old patched shirt and old bibbed overalls with the legs tore out of them? Can you sing when you've just got that? Our elders, our forefathers did.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because they were thankful to God for every day and everything that they had. But I find out that I'm afraid that God's children, we're not thankful for the good things. I'm talking about from natural now. Just the things that He's given us as far as food and clothes and everything. But I'm going to tell you something about singing in the night. When everything, and we've got plenty now, just named over some material things. But whenever life begins to look dark to you, maybe you got sickness, cancer, somebody that you love has passed away, heart attacks and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden it feels like you go to bed and it feels like it's even the bed is so heavy that the bed won't hold you up. And all of a sudden there's a feeling comes over you, there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
There is a light in Goshen. When all the world, it's dark around you and you can wake up singing praise God. I was so thankful the other day when this sister told me, and she said, I went to bed singing, the Lord's been so good to me. Can we go to bed and sing that night? Or can we wake up in the morning and singing, the Lord's been good to me? Or do you do like Edward Bowman does a whole lot of the times and don't say, get up and say, good morning, Lord, but say, good Lord, it's morning. I'm going to tell you something. We've got a lot to be thankful for. What about Apostle Paul staying in that jail? And they was in prison. And all them prisoners. And all of a sudden they began to sing praise to God. And the prison was open. The jailer sprang in with a light, because if any of them prisoners had left there, it had been his life. Said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. I'm going to go over one more place. You know, Peter was in jail, and they had him in shackles and chains. Back in the jail, and the angel sent from God smote on his side and said, stand up quickly. How many of us stand up quickly when the Lord sends something to us? We're going to drag around, ain't we? Drag around. The Lord's what we want to do as the last thing the Lord tells us to do. Why is that? You know, whenever the income tax form comes, you're scared to death when that time will get there. If you ain't got your tax paid, the government's going to get you. Well, you know, I'm not preaching a God that he'll going to get you for that. But you'll do well whenever the Lord tells you something to do, to go ahead and do it. I'll tell you one thing, you can save yourself a whole lot of trouble. But Peter stood up quickly, and them chains fell off of him.